RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Go back to the game now. The game. Hey, great passion, right? Great fight. Right? That's what we always do. But what we did was what? We did what it takes to win. We did what it takes to win, right? We took care of the ball, right? Almost got a takeaway at the end there. We ran the ball well, right? They had 43 yards rushing, I believe. Okay? All right? And a great finish, right? We finished it out the right way. All right? So, excellent job by everybody. All right? And I'm actually going to give the game ball to the damn entire defense.
Even you, Montez.
Hey, great performance, fellas. All you guys all did a great job. Enjoyed the weekend, right? Okay. Appreciate your teammates, right? Hey, what we're gonna do, guys? We're gonna keep pulling together until nothing can separate us.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We're gonna keep pulling together until nothing can separate us. I put that in front of you a couple days ago. That's real.
Yep.
That's real. All right. And I got my guy right here. There he is. Heck of a runner today. Now, hey, get in here quick, man.
Hey, look, man. We just got to keep stacking it, bro. You feel me? You know how this feels when we go get a win, man. This feels amazing, bro. So we just got to continue to grow, continue to come together, and let's do it, bro. We got the people in this locker room to get it done, man. Bears on three. One, two, three. Bears.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Felt like I was part of the team right there for a little bit. I do be putting my hands up like, let's go. When they call audible, I be like, audible. Trying to let everybody know. Feels good, man. You got to enjoy the victories like they said. That was Coach Eberflus in the locker room. Gave the game ball to the entire defense. They played a hell of a game. We weren't going to give it to Tyson Bagent. We weren't going to give it to anybody in the offense. All right? Dante Foreman, he's just been like your one consistent thing on the offense. Defense played exceptionally well. We're going to give it to the coaches. Cairo Santos, maybe, could have gave him the game ball. That would have been great. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on 670. The Score: Bears defeat the Carolina Panthers 16-13. Hell of a game for the team, though. Like I said, it's hard to win in the NFL, regardless of how you slice it. Yes, worst team in the NFL right now, but you still got to beat them. Still got to go out there and get the job done. Regardless of the score, and the Bears did just that. And we get a chance to talk about it. I'm going to be here till 5 o'clock hanging out with you guys. Mully and Hall after that. They got DJ Moore at 9. That's going to be great. Parkins and Spiegel, they got Jalen Johnson at 5. So those are your two must tune in to appointments for today. Outside of that, we got a hodgepodge of guys in between. So make sure you're here. Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on 670 The Score. All right, let's go back out to the phones. And chat with the people. Let's go to Travis, who was at the game. Travis, were you sitting next to Tyson Bagent's dad or what?
No, I was not.
All right.
I was sitting next to my dad. We've been season ticket holders for a handful of years.
Oh, that's awesome. So what? So I don't even care what you thought of the game. What did your dad think of the game?
He had a good time. You know, it's one of those games where, you know, it's two bad teams, right? Like, there's no getting around that. But it was fun, you know. He had a good time. It was close. It was fun. Seeing our old friend Eddie Pinheiro absolutely fail on that 58-yard field goal, man, that felt good. That was a whale of a time. Honestly, like, it sounds weird, but that's the most fun I've had at a Bears game in a minute. Like, that felt good.
What made it so? Was it the people? Was it just the fact that it was a winnable game? What? Because it was a low scoring, ugly game. Like what gave that feeling to you?
I think part of it's just that like Thursday night vibe. It's a different kind of crowd. You know, some people sell off their tickets. A little bit different vibe in the stadium. You got the guy next to me shirtless, going crazy. You got the lady next to me pulling for DJ Moore to score her touchdown for a parlay when we're playing defense.
That's great.
I couldn't believe that. That might have been my favorite part of the game, but it was just exciting. You know, it's one of those kind of hard-nosed football games where, yes, you know, they're making mistakes. They're not the most talented teams, but it's close. You know, they're both fighting for it. And they were talking about it on the radio earlier, is like, this game might mean a little bit more than you think, just with like kind of the point of pride and where the draft pick stands. And, you know, Carolina feels like they got something to prove, just with, we own their draft capital. And if we beat them, you know, that's like, that's kind of, we hold something over there.
Yeah.
And they got kind of that chip on their shoulders. So, it was just a fun game, and just to see them win on a missed field goal. Honestly, I was nervous on that pass play to convert the first down. I don't know how I felt about that, and then they converted it, and I felt fine after that.
Yeah, it was a good one to watch. You're right. It was. I mean, here's what I've said from the beginning, Travis, is that, you know, you want an exciting game. When the Bears were losing by, you know, 20 points a game, and the offense was horrible, and when I called for Bajent to go in the game, it wasn't because I thought Bajent was going to be better than Justin Fields. I just knew it'd be entertaining, whether win or lose, right? And that's what it's been over the last couple of games with Bajent, where it's like, you know, yeah, I don't necessarily think my team's going to the playoffs, but I'll watch on Sunday to see whether or not, or you know, how this thing unfolds, where it's not embarrassing, which is what it's been for quite a few games over the last couple of years. I mean, you're a season ticket holder. You've been to these games where it's been unbearable to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I was at the Broncos game earlier this year, and it's like, and that's the stuff that drives me nuts, man, is like, and like at this point, you know, like it doesn't really hurt. It's just kind of the point where you're like, man, like what's next? You know, we had that one in the bag and then just threw it away. So I get what you're saying totally. Is like there's ones where you know that you just you're not coming back. It's not it. But then there's just disappointing ones. I mean, I've seen it all, man. I saw the double doink. I saw the NFC Championship loss with the Packers. Like it's, you know, I've been through the ringer with my Bears.
Yeah, so yeah, but that's why you appreciate a victory regardless of how it comes, and most certainly when you get to see it with Pops. I'm glad you guys were able to do that together. Send them my well wishes. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Bears defeat the Carolina Panthers 16-13. We're taking your phone calls. What are your thoughts? A lot of people thinking a lot of different things about this game. I love the fact that Travis, a longtime season ticket holder, said this is one of the best games he's ever been to. Think about that from whatever you just watched today at your house. He's actually been to a ton of these, and he says that. It's interesting. You know, he's not embarrassed. I wonder if he liked the orange jerseys. There was a point in the game when I thought to myself, like, the Bears are playing so bad. I was like, I even hate these jerseys. And I actually like the orange jerseys. But something today, just like with the quirky Eberflus halftime comment and the orange, really ugly orange jerseys. And it's just like, that's like, we're the laughingstock of the NFL. It's like, are we the worst team in the NFL? This, all the things I kept on thinking. Like, at least they have Bryce Young. And you could say what you want about Bryce Young being little, but he's still a good quarterback. He understands that his team in college was better than the Carolina Panthers. I think he understands that. And I'm sure he's probably texted that in a group chat somewhere that he feels that way. So, you know, it makes you wonder. But I'm curious what you thought. What did you think of the game? You know, what did you think about the Bears' defense? How good can they be? Are you excited about it? What did you think about Tyson Bajent? It seemed like he was holding on to the ball a little too long today. I noticed that. I'm not sure what was going on there. He had a nice amount of time, you know, when he would drop back, but just couldn't get rid of the ball. Would you rather have Bryce Young or Justin Fields? after what you saw today, right? A work in progress, but maybe like a different kind of work in progress. I don't know. That'd be interesting. 312-644-6767. Let's go to John out in Antioch. John, what about the quarterback debate do you not like?
Everything. Bajan, it's a success if he's a backup. But this narrative of, oh, he let him play, field eight the guy. We need to see. No, what do you need to see more of? You just told the one gentleman you don't need a history lesson, and then you went and gave him a history lesson on field stats last year. If you look at the big picture, because last year matters to this year with Justin Fields, because this year was what we need to see, correct?
Wait, hold on, because I want to make sure I'm picking up what you're putting down, John. So you are saying that Justin Fields is the man, and we should give him opportunity to be the man because he is?
He's shown it.
Time out. Shown what? That he's the man? Where? Yes. When? What game? Tell me a game.
Are you gonna let me say it and not say you don't need a history lesson? Because you remember when he came, week 1 through 6, 2022, everybody's screaming. Why is he making him a pocket passer? Week 7 through 11, they start moving him. The Bears are the highest scoring team in the league for those 4 weeks, 30 plus points. Then they go to the tank. This year, we get DJ Moore. Same thing, week 1 through 3. What are they doing? Oh, then they break him out, move the pocket in the Denver game, 27 points in the first half.
Worst defense in the league.
What's that?
One of the worst defenses in the league.
And then you just said 5 minutes ago, hey, you can only beat the teams that are in front of you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your
and
point,
that's
though?
What they were doing.
Make a better point, though.
Point. Really? See, this is what I don't get. You dictate the conversation.
Yes,
you're near.
I do.
Justin, in 7 of his last 14 games, he's put up 30-plus points with no team. No team.
So DJ Moore is not a team. Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, those guys are not a team. I'm confused. That's the offense.
Not when Justin's not in the game. This team that they played tonight is garbage. So are the Commanders. But Justin put up 40 points against the Commanders, not 13.
Justin was 15 for 29. Let's not forget the majority of those yards were yards after the catch when he threw it to DJ Moore. 5 yard passes that DJ Moore took for 50. It's not like those were through the air. But I'm saying, but John, they're not through the air. You can't just pick a stat and then pretend like it fits your narrative and to make it seem like Justin Fields is the stud quarterback that put up 40 points and he had 15 completions. DJ Moore was the offensive player of the week from a wide receiver position in, since you like history lessons, in 20 years. Like, it was because of DJ Moore and him giving the ball and yak. It wasn't because Justin Fields was some great quarterback that was airing it out.
So go back and watch the touchdowns, because Bajan doesn't make any of those touchdowns.
I'm not comparing Justin Fields to Tyson Bajan. I don't think Bajan's better than Justin Fields.
No, but you're assuming that
they
should draft another. Quarterback, and that person
not assuming.
Will be successful.
I'm not assuming they should. They should, and they will draft another quarterback. This regime is not 100% confident in Justin Fields, so they will draft another quarterback.
So when you start asking, we need to see more out of Getsy, because you know what? When you go from a team,
I agree with that.
30, 40 points, and then look totally inefficient the next week. That's coaching. Getsy cannot create a consistent game plan.
This we can agree on.
Guys in Pearson.
I don't mind living in this space together in harmony, saying that we both agree that he needs to change that aspect of it. I agree with that. But let's not forget, you said that he didn't do it. Tyson Bajan put up 30 points against the Raiders his first start. Like, what are you talking
about? Actually put up 23 because there was a pick.
Okay, you're right. 23.
And then look, same thing with Bajan. Comes in against the Raiders. Or the Vikings looked pretty good. Looked okay against the Raiders.
10
Chargers
for 14.
Didn't look
right.
So good.
Right.
Didn't look so good against the Chargers. Saints looked horrible in the second half. He's regressing too, just like people were complaining Fields was. This is coaching. Players don't forget how to play. If I tell you to run backwards and beat me in a 3-miler, chances are you're not going to do it. Straight ahead, you will, right?
I hear what you're saying. Listen, we can agree on things. We can agree on certain things, which is that the Bears need a better offensive coordinator. That I can agree on.
Correct.
I think the part where you and I we hit a fork in the road, John, is that you think that Justin Fields, even with good coaching, can be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And I
correct. You know why? Because if you take any of your top 10, Jackson, Herbert, and put them on the Bears, they're not top 10.
they'd still be a top 10 quarterback. The team just wouldn't be a playoff contending team in the present, right? Because the team is bad. Because the team is bad. The team is bad, but the quarterback would still be good, right? The team is bad.
The team is bad, but Justin was still considered to be a potential MVP this year because of what he showed.
All right, pick a quarterback in the top 10. Pick a quarterback, any quarterback. Go ahead.
Okay. Pick one. Yeah, Herbert.
Justin Herbert on the Bears. The Bears will not be 3-14 last year.
With Darnell Mooney as the number one receiver? And then Pettis?
Last year, Justin Herbert would not have been 3-14. Do you agree with that statement or not? Do you agree with that? Hold on. Do you agree with that statement or not?
No, I do not.
So you think Justin Herbert with this team last year would have been 3-14 as well?
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's
what is he with the team he's on now?
You have to stand on that, and you have to let Chicago hear you say that.
What is he on the team now? What are the Chargers now with Herbert? What are the Bills with Josh Allen right now? And they have a lot more talent than the Bears.
Okay, now if you're going to see, if we're going to go into stats and look at things objectively.
No, this is what I'm saying.
And I'm saying to you, well, if we're going to do that, if you're going to say, oh, look at Justin Herbert's record, you have to look at who he's played. Like, the Bears have played crappy teams and still lost, right? The Chargers have played some good teams and lost those games. That's the difference. I hear what you're saying. I just we disagree on whether or not Justin Fields is a top 10 quarterback in this league. You, John, right? Not only do you want to say he is, but you also have the caveat that he is, and if he had better coaching, then he would be, right? I'm saying he's not. And if he had better coaching, he still wouldn't be. So we're just at odds ends when it comes to Justin Fields. And that's okay. That's okay, right? Because I think what we've all leaned on this whole evening has been we all wish Justin Fields would become the man, right? But I, John, can only look at what I've seen in front of me. I can only look what my little eyes can tell me. And I can only compare it to what my eyes tell me the best quarterbacks in the NFL look like and operate. And how they operate. And Justin Fields does not do that. And so, I mean, I can wish too and hope too and say that, oh man, I also have to look at what's in front of me. I also have to look at his games and say, what is Justin Fields? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. Ready to have healthy conversations on the radio. Want to validate feelings, find some common ground. But also want to give, you know, the ability to talk and say your opinion whether or not you feel Justin Fields is the man after, I guess.
People are coming after you, man.
No, just him. Just John. That's okay. I don't mind that. I actually enjoy things like that.
No, it's the best. But, yeah. Like, people are trying to box with you right now.
No, nobody want that smoke. I'll tell you that right now. I promise that's not what they want. But that's not what we're doing. Don't add fuel to the fire. 90% of the people have been in agreement with me. And the other 10% are super Bears fans that really believe in Justin Fields. Listen, I was there. I used to go on NBC Sports Talk Live with Cap every damn week and tell people I would be drinking the Trubisky whiskey. And I owned it, and I owned it, and I owned it. Even when he left to Buffalo, I was like, hey, Josh Allen better watch his back. Like, that's because I've been there before. I know what that is. And then it comes to a point of realization. And then, listen, I was like that with Justin Fields, too. And then I started working at 670 The Score. And you realize that your opinion actually matters. And so while I can tell you what my fandom tells me, says, which is, I hope Justin Fields is the man. That's what my fandom says. But I have to look at things objectively, look at the stats and look at the games and watch Justin Fields play and compare him to the rest of the league and think about where I want my team to be. And if I want the Bears competing year in and year out, yes, you have to fix the trenches. This we know. But you got to have a really good quarterback if you want to go deep into the playoffs consistently. Or at least, and don't give me the outlier of team that gets there without that person, like a Brock Purdy, who has a crazy team around him, right? Let's talk about what if we're looking at the path to get there, a top 10 quarterback is the path with the highest probability of having consistent playoff success. That's why we take phone calls, right? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the lines and go to Roiland. Roiland from Creek. What up, man? Welcome to the show.
Man, what's going on, man?
You know, here, taking calls, talking about the Bears.
Yeah, man. I think Justin gets a bad rap, man. You know, I believe he's been set up to fail because if you give a young quarterback a line and weapons, it allows him to grow from a place of comfort. We all know he holds the ball too long, but in his mind, that's only because that's the last thing he's worried about because he's running for his life every down. Give him what he needs to succeed, then we'll be able to work on it. He'll be able to work on those things, man, that, you know, the holding the ball and the not letting it go fast, getting it out fast or whatever. He'll be able to work on those things because he'll be working from a place of comfort. If you put him in San Francisco, man, the dude would be going to the Super Bowl. You put him in Miami, he's signed. Buffalo, he's signed. Philly, he's signed. Put him in Cincinnati, he's signed because those teams have coaching, weapons, and the O-line. The Bears organization is terrible when it comes to drafting and developing the quarterbacks.
True.
Man, you really, like, you said, would I rather have Young or Fields? I don't think it matters. Neither organization is doing what things the right way. They're not doing what they need to do. You need a line. You're not seeing what Fields or Young going to be because they're not getting the tools they need to be evaluated properly. The Bears need to fire Getsy because he's horrible and get an OC that knows how to build around a quarterback with Justin Fields' skill set. Then you'll be able to see whether he's a man or not. I'm not saying he's a man. I'm not saying he's not the man. I'm saying we won't know for sure because he's not being set up to be evaluated correctly. He's just being thrown out there, and then they telling him, hey, be a pocket quarterback. That's not what he is right now. Work with his skill sets, give him what he needs to be comfortable, and then start adding things like that. We're working backwards. We're trying to make him Tom Brady before we allow him to be Justin Fields first.
I hear
that's
that.
All I'm saying.
I hear that. I hear that. And I mean, listen, when it comes to the Justin Fields conversation, of course, you know, we all see the same things when it comes to what's surrounding Justin Fields, right? Didn't have the best offensive line. And now we see what that even looks like to have like a mediocre line, right? And how far away the Bears were from that. Like when you put Tevin and Darnell Wright on the right side, and even that is just more solid than what we had last year. And that feels at least decent. And that's without a strong center. And that's without a generational left tackle, right? And so we see now that, okay, Justin did have, you know, didn't have the best offensive line. Know that. Okay. Now we look at, you know, his wide receivers didn't have the best wide receivers, right? But we got to also, like, if we're gonna try to look at those things, right, we also have to at the same time, two things can be true at the same time, right? And so we can say that, yes, coaching was, the offensive coordinator wasn't necessarily the best for him, right? When he comes out and says, yeah, the game plan is the same for Tyson Bagent as it is for Justin Fields. That's odd to me, right? That doesn't even make sense. Right. So yes, that can be true. But like then the other part of it can be true as well that like Tyson Bagent came in for his first game in the second half against a Minnesota team that was absolutely destroying Justin Fields, and he went 10-for-14 and almost got close to winning the game. With a bad offensive line. Like with all the things that we say, right? First time. So like I get it. And again, I just go back to the same thing that it's not about. Like, do I think Justin Fields can get better? Yeah, sure. But do I think that that ceiling is, even if he had a good offensive line, right? Even like this year, had a better offensive line, better weapons. First couple of games, still couldn't get DJ Moore the ball. Still getting sacked a ton. Still throwing interceptions. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get the argument that he didn't have in the beginning, but he had improved versions of all of those things and still had the inconsistency. And I think that's something that we're not mentioning enough, right? Does Justin Fields have good games? Yes. But Justin Fields also has very bad games. And it happens like that often. And that's the part, the issue that I have. It's the inconsistency.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Consistency, right? If he could do it every game or get close to doing that stuff every game, then I think we'd all feel a lot better about that. You know, you just mentioned that, you know, he's running for his life out there, right? Got like PTSD, gets a bad snap, and he automatically assumes guys are coming. But check it out. That's the NFL. When you play the quarterback position in the NFL, guess what? There are 6'7", 300-pound dudes that are faster than fast can be trying to get at you. You only have 3 seconds to throw the ball. Like, that is the nature of the position. And yes, he had it harder, but you still got to overcome those things and do it consistently if you are to be perceived as a top 10 quarterback. Hope y'all followed all of that. And I do want to put a little bow on that by saying, and we all wish that Justin Fields was that. At least I do. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Larry from Chicago. Larry, again, something we can agree on, right? That the coaching has failed Justin Fields.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Gabe, normally I'm kind of with you, but tonight it seemed like you're tripping a little bit.
I like it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't agree with me all the time, Larry. I don't want you agreeing with me all the time.
And you know, and that's the good thing about it, because we could talk about it. I mean, I think that we're talking about the final product of a dysfunctional team. You got a team that hired the coach before they hired the GM.
True.
You had then, after you hired a GM, then you hired a president. So everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, Justin Fields, he's not Ryan Poles' guy. Well, nobody's guy. So if that's the case, everybody should be fired. You know, Kevin Warren didn't hire Ryan Poles, did he?
Nope.
That's not his guy. Ryan Poles didn't hire Matt Eberflus. That's not his. So let's just fire everybody. But what happens, it goes down to Justin, right? Last year, Ryan Poles put the team on life support, gutted it, put it on life support. Go out here and just run for your life, young man. So this year, we thought we would get a better evaluation of who he is. Now, this is my thing. If he is or if he's not the person, I don't feel like they're giving him the things that he needs for us to even find out if he is or if he's not, right? So we know last year, I mean, he could run. We know he got a cannon for an arm, right? So for some reason this year, he got to be in the pocket. He's not comfortable in the pocket. You talked about Tyson Bagent coming in, winning 2 out of 4 games. Well, Tyson Bagent is more fit for the scheme that gets he runs. So, absolutely. But just like all other teams, you get some film on it, oh, they're going to show the weaknesses of what's going on. You know what I mean? But nobody wants to criticize Mike McCaskey for this whole dysfunction because it's nobody answering to nobody. And the only person in the building that I really trust is Kevin Warren. Can we agree on that?
I trust the polls a little bit, too. I got to be honest.
I do. I really like them because the way he's building the team is for a long term.
Yeah.
And I think that's another problem is that everybody is expecting this microwave Bears team. Well, that's not what it is. We got offensive line problems. I mean, you go to the team, we have to rebuild a whole team. You know what I mean? It's not like we have to need a piece here, we need a piece there, we need a piece there. What I do like about Poles and Fields is I feel like Poles gave Fields a chance by not drafting a quarterback last year.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was a thing saying, okay, well, let's see what you can do.
And he also knew that there were going to be some quarterbacks in this upcoming draft. So it was very strategic and smart. Right.
That too, but I also, and this is my, I don't think Fields can do anything to stay. I don't think you can be a GM and pass up on two drafts where you're in the top five. And
wait a second, Larry. Wait a second. You sound like you're saying what I'm saying, and you say you're not agreeing with me today, so I'm confused. Because all I'm saying is I think Justin Fields is going to be on the team next year. I just think they're going to draft a quarterback. So I'm confused at the part where we're not seeing eye to eye then.
Well, what we're not seeing eye to eye is I think as a GM, I think that's a fireable offense if you have two top five draft picks and you don't pick
I see what you're saying. right. You're going business. You're going from the business side now. I see what you're doing. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean – You know, I just don't see how that could, you know, I mean, it's just basic mathematics.
Yeah, no, you have to.
I mean, not only that, with the money, you know, yeah, you resetting the clock, you know, you keeping job security for a little while longer just in case. Because one thing for certain and two things for sure, if you don't draft a quarterback and Justin Fields actually is a bust, he's out the door.
Without question. Because you just fumbled the bag twice, 2 years in a row. I appreciate the call, Larry. As always. But I got to be honest, didn't sound like Larry was disagreeing with me. Came on and said, hey, Gabe, I usually agree with you, but not tonight. And then all of a sudden he kept on talking, and I'm like, wait, you sound like you're saying exactly what I'm saying. But I know what he was really saying deep down inside, which is that we should have more faith in Justin Fields. And I think that's the part that he probably disagreed with me on. And listen, I was talking to Corey Wooten on Wednesday here on 670 Score. Tuesday on my night show, former Chicago Bear Corey Wooten. And I was talking to him about, because Justin Fields is 24, turning 25. And I talked to Corey about, I asked Corey the question about, you know, what is it like being that age? Because at that point, Corey Wooten was in his second year in the NFL. And so I said, Corey, you know, a lot of people think, you know, who you are at the beginning of the year is who you are at the end of the year, right? Because we still look at NFL players as, you know, established men that are never going to grow. Like I said, we as fans look at them like Madden players, right? Like you just plop them in. But the reality is you're 24 and you know, you got to think back to when you were 24, turning 25, your body's still changing, right? You're mentally growing. You're seeing things differently. So then I was like, damn, Corey, what is that 4 week gap going to be like for Justin Fields? Like, are we going to get the same Justin Fields? Like, or is there still, like, you know, is he going to be, I don't know, more fit? Is he going to have more muscle? Is he going to be more tone? Is he going to, you know, you just don't know. And Corey made it very clear. And said to Gabe, he's like, yeah, your body's still growing. You're still getting used to the regimen of the NFL. And by that point, you're now in this routine. So your body is now becoming accustomed to it. So, yeah, you are a little bit stronger. You are, you know, your body is acclimated a little bit better. You do learn, you know, you are running things a little bit better when you're sitting on the sideline. So I'm excited to see what Justin Fields looks like when he comes back. I would love for him to – Sunglass Justin, I'm here for it. You saw him on the sidelines, I'm here for Sunglasses Justin. That's the kind of swag I need on the field. Because he has had moments like that. Moments where he drops back and just looks comfortable, gets rid of the ball when he's not suffering from his form of PTSD from football. You know what I mean? It's like when he's not dealing with that, there are moments where he looks good. I just want it consistently. That's all. I would love it instead of 30% of the time, 60% of the time. I see Mimito and I'll be fine with that. But of course, these are the things that we can discuss after a Bears victory, right? How does this team become better? Do they leave certain pieces in place or do they have to replace those positions? 312-644-6767. Bears defeat the Carolina Panthers 16-13. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday. And if you want to hear from guys like DJ Moore, he'll be on with Mully and Hall, 9 o'clock. Jalen Johnson, one of the elite defenders for the Chicago Bears, be on at 5 p.m. with Parkins and Spiegel. And, of course, I got you all the way to 5 o'clock when Dustin Rhodes kicks off the pregame show. But let's go back out to the phone lines. What are your thoughts? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Kent out in Chicago. Kent, what do you think about the QB situation that currently is facing the Chicago Bears?
Hey, what's up, Dave?
What up? Did you call me Dave?
I'm with the other callers, man. I think they hit the nail right on the head. Justin Fields is the guy. He's the quarterback. He has all the attributes, all the talent, arm strength, athleticism. It's up to the coaches. Whose job is it to bring that out in a player? It's the coach's job. I want to just make an analogy right quick. When Jerry Krause identified Scottie Pippen as a talent, he traded for him. You know, the Bulls didn't draft Scottie Pippen. They
of course, Seattle
him.
Supersonics, I know.
Right. So Jerry Krause identified this guy has all the attributes and the talent to be a superstar. He handed him to Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson, being an adequate, competent coach, brought all of that out in Scottie Pippen and turned him into a top 75 player. Justin Fields has all of the talent. Like Herbert, he had just as much talent as Herbert. Matter of fact, can you name a young quarterback? This is only his third year. Can you name a top quarterback, young quarterback, that came into the league after 3 years and was setting it on fire? Even Mahomes didn't even start.
Jalen Hurts. Tua Tagovailoa.
No. Philadelphia didn't even know if Hurts was going to be the man.
But no, you said by year three.
By year three, yes. So I think he had just as much talent as Hurts. I think Tua may be a little more accurate than him, but I think he has more athleticism than Tua. It's up to that. It's up to the coaching staff and the coach. When you have that type of talent handed to you that Justin Fields has, when somebody gives you that type of talent, it's up to the coaching staff to bring out all of that potential. Even if you look at the game plan of the last four games that they're running for Bajan, they're not even running that same game plan for Fields. I'm looking at the game plan and some of the plays they're running. I'm like, where are those plays when Fields is on the field? No pun intended. But where are those plays when he's back there at quarterback? I'm like, they have him outside the pocket all the time. And Justin Fields obviously has more talent than Bajan. So once you get the defense on their heels, because they are thinking Justin Fields is outside of that pocket and is going to hurt him, it's much easier for him to be a pocket quarterback or be that quarterback that they want him to be in the pocket at times. So don't you have to game plan to his talent, to his strengths. Don't be stubborn. He can make the throws. You just have to, like most of the callers have been saying, give him the tools. Use his strength. He has the tools to be an outstanding top 10 quarterback in my mind.
I hear you, Kent.
I wouldn't draft a quarterback high. I wouldn't draft a quarterback at one or two. Go get a quarterback with the fourth round, the third round. But I wouldn't bring in a number one quarterback or a number two quarterback, because what you're saying, if you do that, what you're saying is, I want this guy to play. You can't draft a quarterback with the number one pick and not be saying, I want this guy to play.
I hear what you're saying, Ken. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And I just disagree with it. I disagree with having a quarterback that the jury is still out on, where half of Chicago thinks, yes, Justin Fields can be the man, and the other half is like, I'm ready to move on. Like, you can't have a quarterback like that and then skip on drafting a quarterback 2 years in a row with any of those top picks and then say to yourself, I'm going to go draft a fourth rounder. Because if Justin Fields does suck, or not suck, but if he's not a top 10 quarterback, right, what's your contingency plan? Your fourth rounder? That's tough. Tough sledding right there. I think you just take him because you just want to make a smart business decision. I don't know. That's why I do that. But you said a lot. You said a lot, Kent. And Justin Fields is the man. Yeah. It's exciting. He is the man. But, you know, there's a lot of knocks on Justin Fields, right? Not just his coaching, right? But inability to put up points at the end of halves. You know, inconsistency, you know, bad ball placement on throws, you know, inability to get it out quickly. Like, again, things that are just, that are like, should be just on the simple checklist for quarterback play. Consistently. Not that he can, not that he isn't, whatever, but consistently. And I understand that it's the coach's job, like you said, Kent, the coach's job to bring that out. But what if the guy only has so much to bring out? Right? And I'm not saying that there's not more. I'm just saying if you're able to use the excuse and the argument, oh, it's the coaches, right? That's your argument. Well, I'm able to have a counter argument that says, what if the coaches can't bring a ton more out of him? And then you bring up Scottie Pippen. And I'm so glad you said that he's a top 75 player, because it's hard to try to compare Justin Fields to Scottie Pippen. Because I don't know if Justin Fields is going to be a top 75 NFL player. But that's for you guys to decide. 312-644-6767. We're taking more of your calls. What'd you think about this Bears game as they defeat the Carolina Panthers? I think that's why people are so hyped up on Justin Fields. It's a lot of bad Bajent play that is making people like forget and then being like, yo, Justin Fields is way better than this guy. And it's like, yeah, he is. And?
Or boring. Bajent's just boring to me.
I mean, yeah, get it, you know. He's exciting because he won. He's exciting because he gets close to winning. But Justin Fields is much more exciting. That we know for sure. But what do you think? What do you think about the game? What are your thoughts on the Bears? Taking your calls right now, 312-644-6767. And we'll take them after this. It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
And there is Daddy Bajent. We talked about the arm wrestling king. His baby boy is going to pull off a win here.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I don't know how comfortable I am calling him Daddy Bajent, but certainly was there. Al Michaels with the call. Bears defeat the Carolina Panthers 16-13 behind Daddy Bajent's son, Tyson. Had himself a respectable day, I would say. No turnovers, and I think that's the most important part. 20 for 33 on the day, buck 62. Deontay Foreman, 21 rushing attempts for 80 yards. Pretty similar to last week. Got himself a touchdown as well. Roshan had some tough runs. And then DJ Moore targeted 9 times today. 5 catches for 58 yards. Cole Kmet targeted 7 times, had 5 catches for 45 yards. And Cairo Santos got the job done for special teams. 3 for 3. Now, special teams, got to talk about them a little bit later, giving up that touchdown. The lone touchdown for the Carolina Panthers. But Bears pull it off in the end. Second half, or actually the last 3 quarters, not allowing a touchdown to Carolina. Was doing some stuff, man. Defense played a great game. Coach Eberflus ended up giving the game ball to the entire defense. So kudos to them. And you're going to be able to hear from a member of the defense today, because it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Busey Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. So I'm going to be hanging out with you guys till 5, taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. And then 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes kicks off the pregame show, leading you into Mully and Haw. They got a great lineup for you today. Olin Krutz just finished at midnight. What a guy. Wakes up again, 7 a.m. He'll be on with the fellas. Joe Fortenbaugh, 7:45, he's going to jump on. And then DJ Moore, 8 a.m., hanging out with Mully and Haw. And then they wrap up their show with Brad Biggs. Then Parkins and Spiegel. Brad Biggs is at 9. Then Parkins and Spiegel jump on. Anthony Herron and Tim Jenkins will join the fellas at 11 and 1, respectively. And then Parkins and Spiegel round out the whole thing. Kevin Fishbang, NFL expert, going to be joining on at 1:25. Dan Wiederer from the Take the North podcast with David Hall be jumping on at 4. And then Jalen Johnson from the vaunted Bears defense. 5 o'clock. I can't wait to hear him talk his trash today because you know he's going to be talking trash today. And I love it. When they threw out that stat twice that Tyreek Stevenson was the most targeted cornerback in the NFL, I thought to myself, I mean, Tyreek Stevenson's a pretty physical guy. I wouldn't call him like the worst cornerback in the league, not even close. And so they're not targeting him because he's bad or because I'm sure some of it's because he's a rookie, but they're targeting him a lot because they don't want to throw the ball towards Jalen Johnson. That we know for sure. So I hope you're talking with the fellas again at 5 o'clock. Right now I'm talking with you. 312-644-6767. Thoughts on the Bears game. Thoughts on the quarterback situation of the Chicago Bears. And what everyone seems to keep yelling at me about is now that you've seen 4 games of Bajent, Justin Fields is an all-star. Is an all-pro quarterback. Let's go to Keith out in Lyle. Keith, so what are your thoughts on Justin Fields and the quarterback situation that faces the Bears?
First of all, a really quick point. I think Bajent was pretty timid today because even in his press conference, he said his main goal was going to be don't turn the ball over, kind of translated into don't do too much. But the reason we even had, like, got excited about Bajent in the first place was because he came into that Vikings game and beyond and was doing things that Fields was not doing, point blank. Like, you know, it was the same line, same receivers, and then he marches down the field against the Vikings, scores a touchdown. Because there are little things that he does from the pocket, getting the ball out a little quicker, using checkdowns, that isn't really what Fields' game is. You know, last time I called you, I said, if you give Fields like 6 seconds in the pocket every time, he's probably going to tear you up, but he needs that time because he doesn't do that little stuff well. But then, you know, Bajent, that little over-the-shoulder pass to Komet into the end zone in the game before last.
That was a great throw.
That nice little touch. Fields doesn't do that nice little touch. He overthrows that by about 3 yards. So when he came in and doing all these things that Fields was not doing well, we get really excited. The league adjusts a little bit. They start jumping routes on Tyson, close down the short game. Well, he can't do what Fields can do down the field. So which do you pick? You know, do you pick the guy who's got a good short game, quick release, and uses checkdowns to move the ball? Do you pick a guy who could be explosive, but you got to buy him a little more time or roll him out, which they seem to refuse to do? They did that to Trubisky, too. He was great rolling out through, what, 6 touchdowns in a game or something ridiculous. And then they said, well, no, you're cutting down half the field there. We're going to turn him into a pocket passer. Well, they tried doing that with Fields, but they didn't have a pocket. So I'm really curious when Fields comes back, now that the line is a little bit more solidified, if he can actually, you know, with a little extra time, do what we expected him to do. But if he had been doing those little things, like, you know, the Commanders game, that 4 touchdowns to DJ Moore, he was about a foot away from another pick 6 on that last touchdown, which would have been another devastating loss. Like that the defender went for it and missed, but it was close to being another disaster. I have not seen Fields in the fourth quarter. You know, he's had how many chances in 30 games to just go down and get a field goal, and he makes a mistake.
Yeah, we've seen it in the Denver game, Keith, right, with the inability to put points on the board at the end of the game and it ended up being costly. My question to you is, I mean, obviously, you know, we can look at the present, but what does the future look like for you, you know, in an ideal world for the Chicago Bears, you know, at the quarterback position?
Yeah, last time, I said I'd be willing to see what Bajan can do. Jury's still out on him. He's young. But obviously right now in his career, he's a backup.
But is the future of the Bears currently on the team? That's the question.
You got to draft a guy.
Yeah.
If Fields comes in for the last six games and does all the things that Tyson did well, can play from the pocket, use the checkdowns, all that stuff, then maybe.
Okay.
But we haven't seen him as a closer. He can't finish games from what we've seen. And I would take a chance on drafting a different quarterback for sure.
Yeah, it seems like that's going to be the route that the Bears are going to take. It's a common sense approach. I understand. Don't get me wrong. It worked out last year, trading the number one pick, getting another first round pick to a team that, potentially could give you another first pick in the draft. But the likelihood of that happening again, right, if you end up trading down, if you're trading out of the first pick or second pick to get, if you don't want to take Caleb Williams and you believe in Justin Fields and, it's just the likelihood is that they're probably going to end up with like an eighth, ninth pick. And then the Bears are going to be a little bit better. So then they'll have like a 16th, 17th pick. And then what are you going to do if Justin Fields is not the guy? Eighth pick, maybe get to the second, third best quarterback, maybe. It's a tough position to be in. Let me take one more. Let's go to Greg out in Dixon. Greg, a lot of people have been talking about Justin Fields today, and one big concern was, let's look at the Vikings who have, been rumored to have interest in Justin Fields. And people have been saying, if he goes somewhere else, he might come back to haunt the Bears for years and years. What do you think about that?
Well, the reason I call it is comparisons. Fields and people want to compare him to Hurts or Lamar Jackson or whatever. But if you put Fields on the Eagles, he fumbles every tush push. And if he goes to the Vikings, he's just not going to hit receivers. I'm out. I've been out on Fields since before his couple good games,
Yeah.
That's great that he flashes like that. That's awesome. And I think that I think the Bears should get rid of him. They need to draft a quarterback like the last caller, he said something about if he can do what Bajan does well. But Bajan, no matter how cool he is in the pocket and just doesn't care about anything apparently, but he's nothing fazes him, but he's still throwing interceptions. That he didn't today, but he last night, but he No, Fields is not a good quarterback, and I don't think he has.
I hear. I hear what you're saying. You were cutting in and out, Greg. So I didn't want to just fix that right there. I think what you're really ultimately saying there, right? The comparisons, and I just think the last caller was more so saying that they each do things well, but the fact of the matter is neither one of them does it well enough. And I think that's the point there. You're looking at, Fields and, you're saying, being on different teams, that's hilarious. Fields on the Eagles, he'd be fumbling the tush push. Fields on the Vikings, he tried to get the ball to Jordan Addison or Justin Jefferson and force it in there, and it might end up in a pick. I go back to the Justin Herbert comp. And I think to myself, if Justin Herbert was on the Bears this year, the Bears would not be 3-7. Again, I talk about you try to look at the Chargers and what their record is, but go look at who they faced versus who the Bears have faced. If Justin Herbert's on the Bears win week one. I think they win week two against Tampa. I think you go back and what you thought was going to happen to the Bears this season, I think those things come to fruition if Justin Herbert is the quarterback. They still beat Las Vegas. They beat New Orleans with the amount of opportunities they had to score in the fourth quarter. They beat the Denver Broncos. They don't jag the game at the end. They have a better record. You know what I'm saying? So I know people think I'm trashing on Fields. Not that.
Herbert proved in year one he could do it, yeah. Long term. We still don't know about Justin Fields.
Robbie, I love the Bears.
I know.
You know what I mean? I love the Bears. And Mark Grody said this at the beginning of the season. It has stuck with me. It has been tattooed in my memory, and I cannot unsee it or visualize it in my brain. And it is that Bears fans can be greedy. And when he said that in the beginning of the season, I was like, wait, what? He's like, yes, be greedy. And that's what really had me feeling the way I feel about Justin Fields. Because it's like, yeah, you know what? Why am I hoping for, like, good? No. I want to be greedy. I want to be really good. I want to be in the playoffs all the time. I want to have a really, 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 really good quarterback. And it might not happen, but this is the greed that I now have thanks to Mark Grody. And that's okay to have those thoughts, especially after a game like today or the last four games where you've seen Tyson Bagent. You know what you have in Justin Fields, or you think you know what you have. And then you're excited to see the last couple of games, but you're also ready to clean your hands of all of that so that that way you can be greedy and get something that resembles a team that can consistently be in the playoffs. 312-644-6767 in 3 o'clock hour. Most certainly going to hear from Coach Eberflus, but definitely want to get your phone calls. What did you think about the game? Are you still embarrassed to be a Bears fan after the performance? Do you think the Bears are the worst team in the league? Even though they beat the worst team, but hey, they got some bright spots over there too. And would you rather have Bryce Young or Justin Fields right now? 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls and hear from the coach after this. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday on 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
670 The Score.
And there is Daddy Bagent. We talked about the arm wrestling king, his baby boy. He's going to pull off a win here.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I don't know how comfortable I am calling him Daddy Bagent, but certainly was there. Al Michaels with the call. Bears defeat the Carolina Panthers 16-13 behind Daddy Bagent's son, Tyson. Had himself a respectable day, I would say. No turnovers, and I think that's the most important part. 20 for 33 on the day, buck 62. Deontay Foreman, 21 rushing attempts for 80 yards. Pretty similar to last week. Got himself a touchdown as well. Roshan had some tough runs. And then DJ Moore targeted 9 times today. 5 catches for 58 yards. Cole Kmet targeted 7 times. Had 5 catches for 45 yards. And Cairo Santos got the job done for special teams. 3 for 3. Now, special teams, got to talk about them a little bit later, giving up that touchdown, the lone touchdown for the Carolina Panthers. But Bears pull it off in the end. Second half, or actually the last 3 quarters, not allowing a touchdown to Carolina. Was doing some stuff, man. Defense played a great game. Coach Eberflus ended up giving the game ball to the entire defense, so kudos to them. And you're going to be able to hear from a member of the defense today, because it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Busey Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. So I'm going to be hanging out with you guys till 5, taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. And then 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes kicks off the pregame show, leading you into Mully and Hall. They got a great lineup for you today. Olin Krutz just finished at midnight. What a guy. Wakes up again, 7 a.m. He'll be on with the fellas. Joe Fortenbaugh, 7:45, he's going to jump on. And then DJ Moore, 8 a.m., hanging out with Mully and Hall. And then they wrap up their show with Brad Biggs. Then Parkins and Spiegel, Brad Biggs is at 9. And Parkins and Spiegel jump on. Anthony Heron and Tim Jenkins will join the fellas at 11 and 1, respectively. And then Parkins and Spiegel round out the whole thing. Kevin Fishbang, NFL expert, going to be joining on at 1:25. Dan Wiederer from the Take the North podcast with David Hall be jumping on at 4. And then Jalen Johnson from the vaunted Bears defense. 5 o'clock. I can't wait to hear him talk his trash today, because you know he's going to be talking trash today. And I love it. When they threw out that stat twice that Tyreek Stevenson was the most targeted cornerback in the NFL, I thought to myself, I mean, Tyreek Stevenson's a pretty physical guy. I wouldn't call him like the worst cornerback in the league, not even close. And so they're not targeting him because he's bad, or because I'm sure some of it's because he's a rookie, but they're targeting him a lot because they don't want to throw the ball towards Jalen Johnson. That we know for sure. So I hope you're talking with the fellas again at 5 o'clock. Right now I'm talking with you. 312-644-6767. Thoughts on the Bears game, thoughts on the quarterback situation of the Chicago Bears, and what everyone seems to keep yelling at me about is, now that you've seen 4 games of Bajent, Justin Fields is an all-star, is an all-pro quarterback. Let's go to Keith out in Lyle. Keith, so what are your thoughts on Justin Fields and the quarterback situation that faces the Bears?
First of all, a really quick point. I think Bajent was pretty timid today, because even in his press conference, he said his main goal was going to be don't turn the ball over. Kind of translated into don't do too much. But the reason we even had, like, got excited about Bajent in the first place was because he came into that Vikings game and beyond and was doing things that Fields was not doing, point blank. Like, you know, it was the same line, same receivers, and then he marches down the field against the Vikings, scores a touchdown. Because there are little things that he does from the pocket, getting the ball out a little quicker, using checkdowns, that isn't really what Fields' game is. You know, last time I called you, I said, if you give Fields like 6 seconds in the pocket every time, he's probably going to tear you up, but he needs that time because he doesn't do that little stuff well. But then, you know, Bajent, that little over-the-shoulder pass to Kmet into the end zone in the game before last.
That was a great throw.
That nice little touch. Fields doesn't do that nice little touch. He overthrows that by about 3 yards. So when he came in and doing all these things that Fields was not doing well, we get really excited. The league adjusts a little bit. They start jumping routes on Tyson, close down the short game. Well, he can't do what Fields can do down the field. So which do you pick? You know, do you pick the guy who's got a good short game, quick release, and uses checkdowns to move the ball? Do you pick a guy who could be explosive, but you got to buy him a little more time, or roll him out, which they seem to refuse to do? They did that to Trubisky, too. He was great rolling out through, what, 6 touchdowns in a game or something ridiculous. And then they said, well, no, you're cutting down half the field there. We're going to turn him into a pocket passer. Well, they tried doing that with Fields, but they didn't have a pocket. So I'm really curious when Fields comes back,
now that the line is a little bit more solidified, if he can actually, you know, with a little extra time, do what we expected him to do. But if he had been doing those little things, like, you know, the Commanders game, that four touchdowns to DJ Moore, he was about a foot away from another pick six on that last touchdown, which would have been another devastating loss. Like that the defender went for it and missed, but it was close to being another disaster. I have not seen Fields in the fourth quarter. You know, he's had how many chances in 30 games to just go down and get a field goal, and he makes a mistake.
Yeah, we've seen it in the Denver game, Keith, right, with the inability to put points on the board at the end of the game, and it ended up being costly. My question to you is, I mean, obviously, you know, we can look at the present, but what does the future look like for you, you know, in an ideal world for the Chicago Bears, you know, at the quarterback position?
Yeah, last time, you know, I said I'd be willing to see what Bajent can do. You know, jury's still out on him. He's young. But obviously right now in his career, he's a backup.
But is the future of the Bears currently on the team?
I think you gotta,
that's the question.
You got to draft a guy. You got to draft a guy.
Yeah.
If Fields comes in for the last six games and does all the things that Tyson did well, you know, can play from the pocket, use the checkdowns, all that stuff, then maybe.
Okay.
But we haven't seen him as a closer. He can't finish games from what we've seen. And I would take a chance on drafting a different quarterback for sure.
Yeah, it seems like that's going to be the route that the Bears are going to take. I mean, just it's a common sense approach. Just, I mean, I understand. I mean, don't get me wrong. It worked out last year, trading the number one pick, getting another first round pick to a team that, you know, potentially could give you another first pick in the draft. But the likelihood of that happening again, right, if you end up trading down, if you're trading out of the first pick or second pick to get, you know, if you don't want to take Caleb Williams and you believe in Justin Fields and, you know, it's just the likelihood is that they're probably going to end up with like an eighth, ninth pick. And then the Bears are going to be a little bit better. So then they'll have like a 16th, 17th pick. And then what are you going to do if Justin Fields is not the guy? I mean, eighth pick, maybe get to like second, third best quarterback, maybe. It's a tough position to be in. Let me take one more. Let's go to Greg out in Dixon. Greg, a lot of people have been talking about Justin Fields today, and one big concern was, you know, like let's look at the Vikings who have, you know, been rumored to have interest in Justin Fields. And people have been saying, oh, if he goes somewhere else, you know, he might come back to haunt the Bears for years and years. What do you think about that?
Well, the reason I call is comparisons, Fields, and people want to compare enough. Hurts or Lamar Jackson or whatever. But if you put Fields on the Eagles, he fumbles every tush push. and if he goes to the Vikings, I mean, he's just not going to hit receivers. I'm out. I've been out on Fields since before his couple good games, you know.
Yeah.
That's great that he flashes like that. That's awesome. And I think that – I don't know that – I think – the Bears should get rid of him. They need to draft a quarterback and like the last caller, he said something about like, if he can do what Bajent does well, but Bajent, no matter how cool he is in the pocket and like, just doesn't care about anything apparently, you know, but he's like nothing fazes him, but he's still throwing interceptions. He didn't today, or last night, but no, Fields is not a good quarterback, and I hear
what you're saying. You were cutting in and out, Greg. So I didn't want to just fix that right there. I think what you're really ultimately saying there, right? The comparisons, and I just think the last caller was more so saying that, you know, they each do things well, you know, but the fact of the matter is neither one of them does it well enough. And I think that's the point there. You know, you're looking at, you know, Fields and, you know, you're saying, you know, being on different teams, that's hilarious. If he was on the Eagles, he'd be fumbling the tush push. If he was on the Vikings, he tried to get the ball to Jordan Addison or Justin Jefferson and force it in there, and it might end up in a pick. I go back to the Justin Herbert comp. And I think to myself, you know, if Justin Herbert was on the Bears this year, the Bears would not be 3-7. again, I talk about the, I know you try to look at the Chargers and what the record is, but go look at who they faced versus who the Bears have faced. Like, if Justin Herbert's on the Bears win week one. I think they win week two against Tampa. Like, I think you go back and what you thought was going to happen to the Bears this season, I think those things come to fruition if Justin Herbert is the quarterback. Like, they still beat Las Vegas. They beat New Orleans with the amount of opportunities they had to score in the fourth quarter. Like, they beat the Denver Broncos. They don't jag the game at the end. Like, they have a better record. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I know people think I'm trashing on Fields. Not that. You know
Herbert
what it is?
Proved in year one he could do it, yeah. Like, long term. We still don't know about Justin Fields.
Robbie, I love the Bears.
I know.
You know what I mean? I love the Bears. And Mark Grody said this at the beginning of the season. It has stuck with me. It has been tattooed in my memory, and I cannot unsee it or visualize it in my brain. And it is that Bears fans can be greedy. And when he said that in the beginning of the season, I was like, wait, what? He's like, yes, be greedy. And that's what really had me feeling the way I feel about Justin Fields. Because it's like, yeah, you know what? Why am I hoping for, like, good? No. I want to be greedy. I want to be really good. I want to be in the playoffs all the time. I want to have a really, 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 really good quarterback. And it might not happen, but this is the greed that I now have thanks to Mark Grody. And that's okay to have those thoughts, especially after a game like today or the last four games where you've seen Tyson Bagent. You know what you have in Justin Fields, or you think you know what you have. And you're excited to see the last couple of games, but you're also ready to clean your hands of all of that so that way you can be greedy and get something that resembles a team that can consistently be in the playoffs. 312-644-6767 in 3 o'clock hour. Most certainly going to hear from Coach Eberflus, but definitely want to get your phone calls. What did you think about the game? Are you still embarrassed to be a Bears fan after the performance? Do you think the Bears are the worst team in the league? Even though they beat the worst team, but hey, they got some bright spots over there too. And would you rather have Bryce Young or Justin Fields right now? 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls and hear from the coach after this. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday on 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.